Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a lively Tuesday. In Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, the hardest herd hierarchy in the history of herd hierarchies. I don't know what to make of the league. Joy Taylor is joining me today. Maybe a surprise star on the show today. Very interesting. Joy, how are you?
I'm great, you know, just living my non-victim life over here. Just finding a way to survive in these streets, you know. It's tough out here, Colin.
You know,
my responsibility.
My wife was screaming last night watching a football game. She's from Chicago. And first time since we've been married, she was going crazy last night. And I kept telling her the importance of finding a franchise quarterback. I'm like, you can do everything wrong in this league. If you got that right, it makes everything work out.
I know that was a frustrating ending for Bears fans, but you got to walk away feeling kind of good. You found your guy.
Yeah. So Bears lost a game, found a franchise quarterback. I'll take that any day of the week. So everything I complained about, Jordan Love of the Packers, the young kid, I'm like, where's the wow moment? One, where's the juice? The coaches for Green Bay, they don't trust him. Look at the play calling. All of that last night, you saw it on every series with Justin Fields. Big, athletic, fast, huge arm, sit in the pocket, take shots. At one point, Matt Nagy said after that he looked over at Justin Fields, and Justin Fields gave him that look like, it's go time. Nagy said, you don't know how great that feels. And a lot of Bear fans were saying this. Well, they weren't doing a lot of bootlegs and weren't doing a lot of deception. Yeah, we did that with Mitch Trubisky, and it fooled Bear fans and people in the locker room into believing that's a franchise quarterback, which we told you from day one. No, Mitch Trubisky, it's smoke and mirrors. It's a house of cards. So Matt Nagy last night, no tricks. Steelers defense, sit in the pocket, make throws. Oh, he did. What, do you want to be fooled into believing he's good? Or make him make plays? They rolled the pocket. But Green Bay coaches against a weak Kansas City defense had no trust in Jordan Love. The Bears coaches against a great Hall of Fame coach and a great defense let the kid sit in the pocket and make throws. And he had to overcome absolutely atrocious officiating last night. Atrocious officiating. Justin Fields averaged 17 yards per completion, more than any quarterback in this league. Okay, that's big boy quarterback. That's throwing the ball down the field. That's not Trubisky tricks, smoke and mirrors, all that nonsense that fools people into believing a dude can play. By the way, Jordan Love, 10 yards of completion. And that's with a better receiving core. That's with a better offensive line. That's with an offensive coach that everybody thinks is great. So do the Bears have the right coach? I like Nagy more than you, but I don't know. Do the Bears have the right GM? I got my doubts. But you have the quarterback. Well, Colin, it's just one game. No, it's not. We've all watched these music shows, American Idol, The Voice. It doesn't take long to spot big-time talent. You can see a hack and you can see a star, you know, 8 seconds, 15 max. So this league is not complicated. Got to get a franchise quarterback. That's what the Chargers did. Then get the offensive line fixed to protect your number one asset. That's what the Chargers did. And then have a bunch of people draft them that can go get their quarterback. So the Bears have two of them now. They got the quarterback, and they got the guys that can get the quarterback. But they've been trying to rebuild this whole line for 3 years, and it's still an absolute mess. And here's the thing with Justin Fields. He's the guy. First time since, was it Johnny Lujack, like 60 years ago. You got your guy. Cade McNown wasn't your guy. Jim McNown's not a guy. Rex Grossman's not that guy, though talented. This is the guy. Big, tall, athletic, fast. The confidence this kid played with. Even in the final drive where they attempted the field goal, it was like, oh my God, this kid has grown so much in the last month. Sideline throws, sat, look downfield, can't see it, sideline. Sat, look downfield, sideline. Sat, look down, sideline. All right. I'm off the field, up to the kicker. He did, even though they didn't score, he did everything you could ask. Now, is he going to have bad Sundays? Yeah, Josh Allen just had one. May he lose himself a little? Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is officially lost. This stuff doesn't go to, this tree does not grow to the sky. It'll get chopped a few times. But if you watch that and you don't see it, then you don't get it. Would you rather be Pittsburgh this morning that got a win but has a dinosaur quarterback with no succession plan? Or would you rather lose that game, have a losing record, and know for the next 12 years? You're watching what's happening to Aaron in Green Bay. I got my guy for 10, 12 years. I'll take that every day of the week. They found their guy. By the way, he's doing it with a bad offensive line. He's doing it with a coach you're not sure you trust. Against a great defense, wasn't a lot of smoke and mirrors, man. It was just make the throws. We're not going to trick people. Make the throws. And he did. Almost enough. All right, so this is interesting. You know I've been a critic of Aaron Rodgers. That is well documented. I think he's a great first ballot Hall of Famer. In fact, always said I liked him more than Favre. He was more of a thinking man's quarterback. But my issues were always leadership and his inability to build alliances, front office, you know, people beyond himself. Well. Here's the latest story from People.com. That's Hollywood. It's just down the street. A source close to Rodgers says he is unhappy with all the criticism. He's now, quote, being crucified for it. He knew some people would disagree with him, but people he thought were friends are turning on him. Oh, that's interesting. His friends. You mean the ones he ghosts when they don't placate and defend him at every turn? I've known multiple people through the years that thought they were friends with Aaron, and he ghosts them when they don't defend him. Yes, being a friend of Aaron has always worked one way. It's about Aaron. So shocking this morning that his friends turn on him. Maybe they're embarrassed by him. This article also suggests Aaron may retire. That I have no idea. But he did say he was 50-50 right before the season, so I wouldn't put anything past him. But this is how Aaron has always seen the world. I am the sun, everything revolves around it. He compared himself to MLK. Oh my. And he feels crucified. You mean like Jesus? If Peyton Manning stepped in it, or let's use an example recently, Drew Brees stepped in it. He got pounded for a day, and then people started lining up. White teammates, black teammates, coaches, front office, broadcasters. People started lining up behind Drew Brees. Why? Because Drew Brees doesn't call out his franchise for 20 minutes. Drew Brees has worked his entire life to build relationships. So when he stepped in it, and by the way, we all do, it's hard. You have to build friendships. And friendships are even. And a friend can disagree with you. And a friend can be critical of you. And you don't ghost them. That's how friendships, real friendships, work. Not in Hollywood, of course, where people pretend to be something, like maybe your friend. Aaron's big in Hollywood. But we all step in it. And Aaron stepped in it. But now he can't figure out why he doesn't have this alliance of people that are there to defend him. Where have you built it? He spent 20 minutes calling out. Remember that press conference? Calling out the Packers front office. Shocker, Aaron, they're not here to put their arms around you today. I said it when he said it. Would Brady do that? Would Peyton Manning do that? Would Eli Manning do that? Would Drew Brees do that? I mean, I understand Russell Wilson gets mad at his franchise, but the minute Seattle made a couple of moves, we joked on this show, he was back to go Hawks. I love my team. I love my coach. I love my GM. Mr. Optimism. With Aaron, it's passive-aggressive shots at coaches, it's calling out the front office, it's ghosting friends, and surprise, when you step in it, nobody's there for you. Because friendships take work and sacrifice. They have to be even. I yell at you, you yell at me. Jeff Saturday and Peyton Manning. There's video on NFL Films, them screaming at each other on the sidelines. It's okay, that's what friends do. That's the way it works. Joy can be mad at me. I can be mad at Joy. Don't work the next day. It's no biggie. We just laugh it off. That's the way it works. But Aaron today feels victimized. He doesn't feel support. Well, where have you built it? This stuff is hard. I'm not saying that. This is not pick on Aaron. But if all your relationships start and end with you, and you see yourself as above the fray and above the team and above the front office and above this and above that, well, you're not part of the group. You're above it. And now you're on your own. But Drew Brees wasn't. When he had that 36-hour stepped in it moment, boy, people on other teams came out and said, yeah, no, actually, when I broke into the league, Drew was there for me. Drew was really good and really supportive. That's the way it works. That's why Drew Brees has multiple offers at multiple places and was allowed to play forever. How many times did we see Drew Brees, a teammate, retire and cry on the podium? Offensive linemen weep, 6'6", 320-pound men weeping at the podium that they loved him because of how much he had given to them. That's how friendships work. I give, you give. I sacrifice, you sacrifice. Don't ghost people. Not if you care about them. So today, Aaron, according to people.com. I didn't even know it was a thing. Caught me off guard with that one. I didn't even know people.com was a thing. He is very upset, and they are insinuating retirement could be on the table. That I don't know. That I doubt. That I have no sources. But I do have sources that Aaron's difficult. And then I see him call out his organization for 20 minutes. Shocker, they're not there for you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Ryan Clark, former Steeler, is criticizing Patrick Mahomes, coming out and saying he's broken. It is safe to now criticize Patrick Mahomes. It was not 3 weeks ago when we started saying he's broken. He's not that good. He's not playing well. First of all, I've said with Patrick Mahomes, he's dealing with now major expectations. His family's gotten increasingly noisy. They're rebuilding the offensive line. They just don't run the football. It is all on Patrick Mahomes, and that's hard. He's a kid. But I want to talk about, for a second, the burden of talent. And, you know, Phil Jackson's probably the best at knowing this. He built the greatest dynasty ever, and many believe the second best team ever in Shaq and Kobe. A lot of egos, a lot of entitlement, a lot of greatness. And those things blew up pretty fast, right? Because, I mean, you're fighting the front office. It's hard, right? Kevin Durant, Steph, Warriors. That didn't last as long as anybody thought. The Heatles in Miami. There's a saying that I don't know where I heard this, and I don't bring it up much. But when you can do anything, you'll want to do everything. With Tom Brady, there are limitations to what he can do. That creates real clarity for a coach. Okay, Tom can't do this. Tom's great at that. Let's double down on that. Let's draft for that. Let's do that. There's limitations on what Tom can do. It creates clarity for Tom and clarity for the coaches. But with Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, do I let him just do his thing? Or do I kind of create some boxes to get a little more efficiency? It's hard to coach. It's harder to coach. Josh Allen's hard to coach. It took them like 2 years to figure it out. I've said this. LeBron James has run through a lot of coaches. LeBron's hard to coach because he, in his prime for 15 years, could do anything. Steph Curry doesn't run through coaches. There's limitations. Yeah, Steph can't guard that guy. Yeah, Steph's not going to keep him away from the glass. You know, no. Steph can shoot. This is what he does. He's a great teammate. It creates clarity for Steph and clarity for coaches. Kyrie Irving. And I got my issues with Kyrie, but he's the best small finisher in league history. He's a brilliant ball handler and shooter. He thinks he can do anything because he can do almost everything. Dwayne Wade was never a great shooter. There were things Dwayne Wade wasn't good at, wasn't gifted at, but what he was gifted at, like Brady, everybody knew, and you could build around it. It creates clarity. Okay, this is what they do. Let's give more support for that. And so with Mahomes, there's a lot of stuff he's dealing with. Family's getting noisy. Expectations are bigger. Division's better. They don't run it. Rebuilt offensive line. But Greg Cosell talked about it on this show, is that Mahomes is much harder to coach than, say, somebody in his division like Justin Herbert. Here's Cosell.
He's been way too quick to break down in the pocket. He's very unsettled. Right now, Mahomes' helmet is not calm. He's moving his head way too much on his drop back. And when that happens, that means you're not really seeing anything. So at this point, he's not really seeing things within the structure, the order, the purpose of the progression, and that leads to a lot of unnecessary movement. Mahomes clearly is playing a little fast. He's not seeing things, and ideally you get him to calm down. Look, this is not the first time they've ever seen split safety coverage or two-man.
Okay, what did he just say? When you can do anything, you leave the pocket early. You want to do everything. That's hard to coach. I think you'll get it right. I'm almost sure it'll happen. He's coachable. He's a smart kid. But these players, these LeBrons and Mahomes that have the ability, Josh Allen, what do? Do you squish him in a box a little? Wait a minute. Then you're taking away their gifts. It's hard. Sometimes being not quite as talented, but great at a handful of things makes it not only easier for you, but it makes it easier for people who coach you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Well, I'll put the Cleveland Browns in because they have the number 2 rushing offense. They run the ball guard, center, guard as well as anybody. They control the clock, and their defense has held opponents under 20 in 3 straight games. This is a real football team. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl team, but I usually think there are 7 or 8 teams that are in the Super Bowl bubble. I would put Cleveland just on the outside of that. But I like the coach. I like the O-line. I think there's an argument to be made that OBJ disappearing is better for Baker Mayfield. Listen, they scored over 40 points and only completed 14 passes. This is a potentially time-of-possession-eating, clock-eating offense that can keep really good quarterbacks on the sidelines. So I do believe they're a top 10 team.
Number 9.
But they're not as explosive offensively, I don't believe, as the Buffalo Bills. Yes, they got beat by the Jags, but they outgained more first downs, and this is the concern with them, and this is why I've dropped them. They're outgaining everybody, but their offense is a little hit and miss because, unlike Cleveland, I don't love their offensive line, but they still have the number one scoring defense. They still have the best turnover differential. They play fast. They force you into mistakes. They can beat you over the top. Now, by the way, they got to go face the Jets. They'll probably get healthy, but I am concerned with some of their offensive line and offensive inconsistency. Bills at 9.
Number 8.
Steelers right now are good at what they do. I know what I get with Pittsburgh. Very good defensively. And they did beat Buffalo. And for a week, I'm going to put them ahead of Buffalo. And they beat Cleveland, so I'll put ahead of Cleveland. But they have the lowest scoring offense of any team with a winning record, and they can only win one way. Okay, but it is their 4th straight win. They are excellent defensively. because they hit on their first four draft picks, they got a home run at running back, tight end, and two really good B to B plus players on the O-line, they are better offensively, and those young players are getting better at the halfway point. So the offense still feels prehistoric to me, but it's got a little bit of a life with a great coach and a great defense. Steelers, 8.
Number 7.
But I like the Ravens because I think they're more explosive offensively. And by the way, can we put the Lamar Jackson can't play from behind to bed officially? That's their fourth win this season. Trailing entering the fourth, and they've won. They're almost getting better at that than they are leading. They're number 2 in total offense. They're wildly explosive. Their special teams had a bad weekend. And they had a bad weekend against Cincinnati, so they are a little inconsistent. But Lamar is super productive. They can be very explosive. They can score over the top. They get offense in chunks. They can beat you in more than one way, which I don't think Pittsburgh can. So Ravens at 7.
Number 6.
Dallas Cowboys. Listen, they just didn't show up. Like, I still think they're in my Super Bowl bubble. I think they're a really good team. Dak Prescott had his worst game as a pro. The Cowboys got pushed around the field. I don't think that's going to happen again. I think they're going to go out and wallop Atlanta. But I will say this, and this is why I lowered him a few spots. Trayvon Diggs is a risk-taking corner, and he's a magnificent talent. But when you watch that Denver game, Denver coaches were telling you that's a liability. So is that a little bit of a blueprint to that Trayvon Diggs guy? He may get picks, but go after him. He's kind of out there freewheeling. I want to watch going forward how teams attack Trayvon Diggs because Denver went right at him. Their tape said he'll bite on stuff. He'll go for the pick. He's fallen in love with picks. But I think they're still a Super Bowl bubble team.
Number 5.
The Rams. Now, twice this year at home, they've looked awful. But they're still great in all the right spots. They're great on the defensive line. They're great at corner. They're excellent at wide receiver. They're excellent at quarterback. They're excellent at head coach. Their offensive line got blown up by the Titans, and they've done it a few times. They did that a little bit to Buffalo, too, and to other teams. So where you need to be great in this league right now is coach and quarterback and D-line. Do you protect your quarterback? Are you good at corner? Do you have a star receiver? The Rams are good at all that. But it is a little concerning that I've seen them twice at home this year get pushed all over the field.
Number 4.
The Packers. Let's not go crazy. Aaron Rodgers is coming back. You know, I'll be honest with you. Their defense is pretty darn good considering their Jair Alexander's arguably the best corner in the game, and he hasn't been around. Stokes, the rookie corner, he got hurt. Za'Darius Smith, the linebacker, they're doing it without 3 or 4 of their best defensive players. So I think we got to take a deep breath on Green Bay. I think they come back. I think they match up great with Seattle. I think one of their strengths is Seattle's weaknesses. I do not trust Seattle's secondary at all. I think Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers are on the phone or Zoom meetings. They know exactly what they're doing here. This is not Jordan Love's team. So let's not pretend it is. It won't be by Sunday.
Number 3.
The Buccaneers. It's still the number 1 scoring offense. It's the number 1 passing offense. They're now getting AB and Gronk back. We have seen this with Tom Brady. The Saints defense is his kryptonite. He has struggled now 3 times against that defense. They are still now co-favorites to win. What I like about them, I think they are capable like Buffalo. They can go over the top. They can grind it. They can run the football. They can make your quarterback uncomfortable. If you have your quarterback is usually comfortable, and you can make the other quarterback uncomfortable, that's Buffalo. You can win a lot of games in this league, and I still think Tampa's fantastic.
Number 2.
But I think we have to respect the Tennessee Titans. Since they lost to the Jets in overtime, they've won 5 straight. They're 6-0 against teams that made the playoffs. They have a physical presence with or without Derrick Henry that is tangible. You can see it. Now, they're allowing more yards per play than they're gaining this season. And not that it's smoke and mirrors. They do not have a big over-the-top component to their offense. They're a little bit like Pittsburgh, but I don't think they have one way to win. But they're a little limited over the top. And so I'll put them at 2 because I think, and by the way, this may not be true in 3 weeks. Right now, physically, I think they're the second, and I think Mike Vrabel's underrated. Right now, today, second best team in the league.
Number 1.
But Arizona's got an 8-1 record, 5-0 on the road. They just crushed a team with a backup quarterback. So now we know they have depth. They're not healthy. They are as explosive as anybody in the league. They also go after and get your quarterback. I've seen them push around the Niners, push around the Rams. Folks, when you're 5-0 on the road and you've won all of them by 12 points or more, you're blowing people out regularly. When your backup quarterback can come in on the road in a division game and complete 82% of his throws, what I love about Arizona more than anything is a couple years ago they had a coach and a quarterback and they put him in and they realized immediately it's not working. They moved off both. They've taken huge gambles. James Conner was a great get. I like everything about their aggressiveness, and I have them number one in the league. Now,
want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
You're all sitting there watching Packers Kansas City snooze fest. You know what I was watching? Eagles Chargers. That game was great. That was fantastic. You guys are all watching the headlines. I'm digging into the sports page, page 4, watching the better game and the quarterback for the Chargers, Justin Herbert, second year in the NFL, is now joining us live. That was fun. You know, I was thinking about this. You know what was fun about that game? So I was listening to Jim Harbaugh talk about this the other day, and I thought it was really funny. He said, you know, when you go on the road and the fans are cheering and you're on the road, he goes, I always just tried to think, oh, they're cheering for me too. They love football, and I love football. I'm watching that game in Philadelphia. Those fans are abusive, and they're loud, and you're playing as good as you've played. So I want you to take me and our audience, Justin, into being on the road, Northeast town, angry fans. You're playing. Is there a part of it that you're like, I like playing on the road in this environment? Is there part of that there?
It's kind of fun. First off, it's great to be here and talk with you. But I think that's one of the best parts about playing on the road is you get these fans that are so loyal to their team. And as you're riding in on the bus, you see them and they're making eye contact with you. And you're just trying your best to just not, you know, give them a response. But it's a lot of fun to play on the road.
Now, you were not sacked, I think, for the first time in your career. So you had time to throw. And, you know, I say this all the time, is that Tom Brady with pressure isn't the same. And for you, what is it the difference between 2.4 seconds and 3.1? Like, I just felt you were so comfortable in that game. And how much did you sense in that game, how much extra time do you need to feel just a little more comfortable?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we moved the ball so well because of the guys up front blocking. And we had such a great protection plan going into the game. And we knew that, you know, they've got a really impressive front seven. And we're going to have to do our best to kind of keep those guys away from disrupting the passer. And I think it also helps having the receivers that we have. And when they get open, they make my job so much easier. And so when you get that combination of the line protecting and blocking and guys getting open, I think it makes our offense super powerful.
So I watched Justin Fields last night with a late drive. I thought he was fantastic. He felt very composed. You can watch the body language of a quarterback. And I thought Justin looked very confident last night. Your last drive, I really watched your feet. And I'm like, oh, God, you're feeling it. You feel confident. So when you go to the sidelines and you know, all right, here's the ball game. Here's the ball game. What is the conversation with your coach? Or are you talking to your coordinator? Or are you talking to your receivers? Give me that communication for a couple of minutes when you know, all right, guys, ball game in Philadelphia. Here it is. Who are you talking to and what's the conversation like?
Yep, so it starts with Shane Day, our quarterback coach, and Chase Daniel and Easton Stick, the two other quarterbacks, they're all together. And we meet on the sideline and we talk about the situation. It's a 4-minute drill. This is what we're going to do. Follow the ball, protect the ball, secure it, stay in bounds, and try and drain the clock. And then you go out to the huddle and you start talking to your guys and you tell them the situation, say, hey, this is what we got to do. We've got this great opportunity. Let's go do it. And you look into their eyes and you see that they're confident and they believe in each other. And I think when all of that stuff happens, I think you're setting yourself up for a good shot.
Not only have you been outstanding in year two, Rashawn Slater, your left tackle, I mean, listen, we all knew he was good. When did you first know? Because, I mean, I swear to God, he literally looks like a 12-year Pro Bowl veteran. Did you know instantly this kid? Because to me, he's really serious, but at the same time, he's not rigid. Like he gets his job. There's a coolness about his personality. Like, did you know when you first met him, first practice, that he would be this good?
He's been awesome. We knew really early on how special he was. And it was kind of unfortunate that we didn't really have spring practices. We kind of had these walkthroughs. And You did your best to kind of make up for the speed of the game, but he picked up the offense so quickly, and he looked comfortable out there. And as soon as we got to fall camp practices, you could tell how quick he was and how he was able to pick up the offense. And he goes against Joey Bosa's and Chenna Nwosu's and these guys that are the real deal. And so he's had plenty of reps to go against those guys. And all year he's been solid, and he's only getting better. So I think it's a great shot for him.
So we move into November. Year two of your career. We move into November. It gets a little cooler. It's colder out. There's more wind. This is different football than September, you know, week after Labor Day football. Take me into sort of, and then by the way, now you're going to deal with a few more injuries. Now everybody's got a book on your offense. Take me to November football compared to September for you. And did it feel different last year? And are you starting to feel it's a little different this year?
It's all about getting better. And I think that's the most important part of the NFL and the game in general. And as long as you keep getting better and you keep moving forward, you're going to prepare yourself for November, December, and hopefully January and February. And, I think we've done a great job of taking care of our bodies and giving those guys breaks up front and allowing them to recover and to be fresh on Sunday. And I think that's a super important part of the game as well. As long as you take care of that, keep getting better, I think you're setting yourself up pretty well.
Justin, I want Justin Herbert, Sunday drive, and go back 1 year to Justin Herbert on a big drive. Where have you improved the most where you're literally sitting there thinking, something's easier? Like, where have you improved the most?
I think experience is huge. I think having gone through it and lived through it and you look back to last year, and we lose a lot of those games. Those games where we're putting them away, we're turning the ball over, we're punting it away. And I think this year you kind of see a difference. And I think it started with the Washington game, and that was another 6-minute drive that we went and drained the clock. And we just believe in those guys. And I think it's different. We're not the same Chargers team as we were last year. And I think as long as we're getting better and we continue to move forward, I think we can play some really special football.
Traeger Grills, creator leader in wood pellet grills. Last year, Justin started a tradition. They win. He smokes them up. This week, I'm sure it was great. I want you to go to TraegerGrills.com. Of course, you got a grill. You're a Pacific Northwest kid. You had a lot of bonfires and grilling as a kid. I think all that. You know what? When I think of you, Justin, it's interesting. There was almost an advantage for you playing in Oregon. And an advantage going to the Chargers, because there's so many high-profile quarterbacks right now, and it's kind of special. Like, the Chargers, it feels like you're the best team in the league nobody talks about. Do you ever feel like that?
I think very highly of our team. And, like you mentioned, back at Oregon, it was an awesome opportunity for us. And we grew up, and I was a big fan of the Chargers as well. And so it kind of worked out well. And, I think we've got such a talented roster. And as long as we keep putting those pieces in the right place and keep getting better and doing all those things that are important to this team, I think we can play some really good football. But at the same time, we came off of two tough losses, and it's all about how you react. It's adversity, and that's the NFL. No game is going to be easy, and we've talked about that so often in our quarterback room about how you react and how you come back from those losses. And I thought it was great to see on Sunday of us bouncing back from two tough losses.
By the way, do you ever watch the other young quarterbacks? Did you see any Justin Fields last night?
Yeah, I watched that game, and I think he's crazy talented. What he's able to do outside of the pocket, in the pocket, he's been able to step up big time for his team. And I'm really looking forward to watching his career over the next couple of years.
Yeah, he is good. Okay, TraegerGrills.com, the creator and leader in wood pellet grills. Justin, it's great to see you. Stay healthy. We love watching you play, and go Bolts. Good seeing you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. Justin Herbert.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
If you look at the history of the NFL, very rarely do you get two or three star quarterbacks in one draft. It just doesn't ever work. There's the Marino Elway draft, right? You get the occasional, but it just doesn't work out that way. You usually have three or four guys taken in the first round. There's one bust. There's one really good quarterback and two wash out. They're okay. They're not disasters. This appears to be the only time in my life I've gone 5 for 5. And I think many of you have gone 5 for 5. So Mac Jones, New England. Lower ceiling, we said he'll probably succeed earliest because he gets a great coordinator, a great O-line, a good running game. They won't ask a ton from him. Good defense, good special teams. He will succeed quickly, but he's always going to have kind of a low ceiling. When you watch him play, that's kind of what you see. Zach Wilson, my prediction was, he's a show-off. This could be a potential disaster. I think he'll have the fourth best head coach. It's still a bad offensive line. There's too much Johnny Manziel where he doesn't take the easy stuff. It's always got to be about him. And we've heard his coach say as much in two press conferences. That's what we've seen. Trey Lance, talented, but not really ready to play. He's not really playing. Trevor Lawrence, big, tall, fast. You'll see glimpses of great, but it's going to take several years. This is a terrible roster. And I think if you've watched and you're honest, he's had moments of great. He throws the ball downfield. He is special. Team roster bad. And then Justin Fields. And this is what we thought. Oh, he's super talented. Can he overcome the Bears? And when I watch him play, my takeaway is, he's super talented. Can he overcome the Bears? They've been trying to rebuild this offensive line for 3 years. The Packers, once again, did it in 1 year. The Chargers did it in one offseason. New England did it in about an offseason. 3 years. It's still awful. The defense couldn't line up on the right side last night. The sideline, I like Matt Nagy. He got Mitch Trubisky to the playoffs twice, but it feels frenetic on the sidelines. Like it's a little bit out of control. But I think all these quarterbacks, by and large, look, this is what we thought, and this is what they are. And that may never happen again because I've had years when, you know, you go 1-for-4 and you feel great. But I think the low-ceiling quarterback, the not-ready quarterback, the talented, terrible team quarterback, I think Justin Fields is exactly what I thought I would see. Give him time. Let him play a little bit. It's going to be ugly. He'll be up and down. But he is so big, and he is so strong. He's got to learn to slide. Man, does he got to learn to slide. When a safety can come up and knock a 235-pound quarterback into the bleachers, this is a different league, man. This is not Northwestern. This is not Purdue. You got to slide. But I think Justin Fields looks like a franchise quarterback. The question now, I have my doubts about the front office. I will give you 2 years to rebuild a unit. It's been three on the offensive line. It's still bad. Let me segue to the Steelers. Haven't talked a ton about them. Last 2 years, I don't buy the Steelers. Haven't bought them. Why? Because it's an offensive league, and they're 28th in the last year and a half in yards per play. Only the Jets and the Dolphins and the Washington football team are in that category. But they do draft well. They do. It's a good organization. And they did something that I'm fond of. Their first four picks, they said, we're just going to do all offense. They got a running back. He's very good. They got a tight end. He's great. They got a center and an offensive tackle, and they're both starting. And because they're young players, they're all getting better every couple of weeks. So their offense is better than last year. It does have a pulse. They went and got a really good running back and a star tight end and two starting offensive linemen. But the number one issue remains, they're a dinosaur at quarterback. Forget the succession plan. They can't make a lot of plays at quarterback. And when if you look at the Steelers' last 8 wins, one has been by blowout. Their margins are incredibly small. If you look at Tennessee and Arizona and Tampa and the Rams and the Cowboys, they are blowing teams out fairly regularly. They can't do this here. I mean, the last team they blew out was like 8 games ago. It was like Jacksonville. So they're just not blowing people out because their margins are thin. And I still think you can win games like the Steelers. You can win games. Their last 25 games, they're 17-8. They can win games, but they don't have the ability to win them a lot of different ways. Baltimore does. Rams do. Cowboys do. Tampa does. Arizona does. The bottom line with Pittsburgh, it's got to look like last night. It's got to be, you know, fairly low scoring. Your field goal kicker's got to make some kicks. Your offense is going to not average a ton per play. And in fact, if there are 14 wins in the last 2 years, 14 of the wins in the last 2 years, they have scored less than 30 points. So that's nobody's really close in the league at that. So they're winning games, but they all have to look like that. And I just think in the league we have now, the more ways you can win, the more viable you are in December and January. And Pittsburgh's kind of got one way they can win. That's why I say it's impressive. When Green Bay went to Arizona without Devontae Adams 2 weeks ago, I was like, whoa, I didn't know Green Bay could win that way. Green Bay, we thought this was a rebuilding offensive line year for Green Bay. Green Bay ran up and down the field physically on Arizona, a team that's pushed other teams around. So when we saw Green Bay without many top defenders, missing 11 starters, physically, they didn't ask. I mean, Aaron didn't throw the ball down the field. Physically, they just lined up. It was screen passes, running game. When they beat Arizona that way, you're like, okay, this is a Green Bay team that can beat you that way. Because that's always been the thing about Green Bay. They're pretty. They're not good in the octagon. Boy, they're pretty. They're good with a lead. They're not great trailing. Punch them in the mouth. Now Green Bay can win another way. And so that matters. I feel like Pittsburgh kind of feels like a more physical version of the Green Bay. Here's the way we can win. Only one way. It's going to be close. You can't live like that. This year, Minnesota's in every game. But their margins are so small, they're losing all of them. Now, Pittsburgh, you know, they got more good players than Minnesota. They're winning a lot of these close games, but it's inches. You're not, you can't get, that catches up to you in this league. All right. Very excited. And I'll say this again, is that in pro sports, people now, everything's politics. Conservatives now are for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, a week ago, he was hippy-dippy liberal California guy, and no conservative could stand Aaron Rodgers. Today, every conservative's like, freedom! I'm an Aaron guy from way back when. You hated him a week ago. He was California hippy-dippy guy. Dating actresses, very left. Now y'all love him. So that's the way it works in America, you know, with a vaccine now. Even our vaccines are political. Our vaccines are political. Our weather's political. Everything's political. So I do think, though, you can solve a crisis in sports generally one way. Go win. And we just, you know, in the end, what's the scoreboard say? And I do think Green Bay, not that it's a perfect opponent, but boy, Seattle's issues are Green Bay's strengths. And I would not be surprised. I mean, it's not like Russell Wilson's been practicing a lot. I would not be surprised if Aaron came out Sunday and kind of freewheeled it, and they were really good, and they beat him, and I think you could quiet a lot of this stuff down. Fans ultimately are loyal to one thing, the W.